Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our virtual Mishnah Berurah here. We're holding a Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Gimel, and Miyirtz Hashem, today we will be learning Daf Kuf Hei Amid Aleph. We are continuing to learn Hilchos Shabbos. We pick up today on Kuf Dalet Amid Beis with the beginning of Simin Shin Ches. We went through the Mishnah Berurah's Hakdama to Simin Shin Ches, and really his Hakdama to the entire topic of Muktzah yesterday. So we really have very little Mishnah Berurah left on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, but we do have the whole Mechaber here. The majority of Sif Aleph is here on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. So hopefully we'll make it through a good part of Kuf Hei Amud Aleph as we go through today's shir. Our learning should be a schus for Achenu Kabeis Yisrael, Hanesudim Batsaro, Bashivya, Ha'imdim, Bein Bayom, Bein Bayabosha, Hamakim Yirachim Alehim, the Yitzia Mitzara Lervacha, Me'afelo La'oiro, Mishibu L'gu'ula, Hashta Bagolo of Isman Kariv, Venaimar Amen. Our learning should be a schus Rufu Shalema, from Ishamer Ben Esther Fradel, Yitzhak Ben Sian Ben Dusha, Rivka Bas Shiraleah, Chava Hadassah Bas Serel. They should have a Rufu Shalema, B'sach Shar Chole Yisrael. Our learning should be a schus for Yonasan ben Michal, Yoel ben Michal, together with all of our other brothers and sisters that find themselves in harm's way. B'chal Mokim Shehem, the Rabbeinu Shalom should please watch over them in the schus of the Tfilois and the Torah of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so let's begin. Sif Aleph here in Simen Shin Ches. Says the Mechaber. Pardon me, just 1 second. Okay. I do have to mention again, my apologies that this share yet again will be an audio-only share. I'm hopeful that the next share, Mirtz Hashem, will once again be a video share. Says the Mechaber, Sif Aleph. Kol hakelim nitalim b'shabbos. All kelim, all utensils, all kelim that have an inherent use are able to be moved on Shabbos. Now, this phrase of the Mechabers over here is a very, very inclusive phrase. As the Mishnah Berurah says in Mishnah Berurah's Katan Aleph, Ritzana Larmar, what the Mechaber wants to say over here is, Afilu kli shemalachto l'iser. Even a keli whose typical use is to perform an activity that's usar on Shabbos, even such a keli, there are times and there are circumstances under which it can be moved on Shabbos. So, for example, a hammer. A hammer is a kli shemalachto l'iser. The typical use of a hammer is to do things, to use it for activities that are prohibited on Shabbos. You're not allowed to knock in nails to do construction on Shabbos. And that is primarily what a hammer is for. Now, a hammer can be used for other things as well. You could crack open walnuts with a hammer. But the typical and the primary use for a hammer is something which is usher on Shabbos. And therefore, a hammer is known as a kli shemalachto l'iser, and it is muktzah. And under typical circumstances, you're not allowed to handle and move a hammer on Shabbos. It's aser betiltel. Yet the Mechaber says over here in the very beginning of Simen Shin Ches, kol hakelim nitalim b'Shabbos, all utensils. And says the Mishnah Berurah, including kelim shemalachtam l'iser, there are times that they can be moved. So let's go back into the Mishnah Berurah here. It's Katan Aleph. Ritzayin Larmar, what the Mechaber wants to say when he says kol hakelim, all kelim nitalim b'Shabbos could be moved on Shabbos. He means afilu kli shemalachto l'iser, even a keli shemalachto l'iser, like a hammer or a screwdriver, nital al kolpanim l'tzarech gufay oy mekaymai, they are allowed to be moved l'tzarech gufay or l'tzarech mekaymai. L'tzarech gufay means if you need to use the hammer to do something that is permissible on Shabbos. So if you need the hammer in order to crack open walnuts, then you're allowed to move a hammer. If you need a screwdriver is a kli shemalachto l'iser, you're not allowed to use it to screw screws into your wall on Shabbos, but there are times that you might want to use a screwdriver for something that is permissible on Shabbos. I'll tell you one right now. Maybe you're away for Shabbos and you have a beautiful bottle of Cabernet that has a cork and you don't have a corkscrew. But what you do have is a screwdriver, a kli shemalachto l'iser, a pair of pliers, a kli shemalachto l'iser, and a screw, a kli shemalachto l'iser. Now, you could take the screwdriver, screw the screw into the cork, take the plier, and use it to pull the cork out of the bottle. So here you have a case where you have three kelim shemalachtam le'iser. You have a screwdriver, a plier, and a screw. They're all things that are malachtam le'iser. So they're all mukta, but now you're going to use them tsayrich gufam. You need them for their use, and you want to use them to do something that is mutter on Shabbos. So you're allowed to handle and move a kli shemalachta le'iser if you need it l'tzarech gufay, or mikaymay. If you have a impact driver, and you come home Friday night from shul, and your impact driver is sitting on one of the dining room chairs, so you need the place that is being occupied by the impact driver. The impact driver is mukta, it's a kli shemalachta le'iser, but you need the place that it's occupying. So you're allowed to move the impact driver, the kli shemalachta le'iser, tzarech mikaymai, because you need its place. Ukid lakamon b'sif gimel, we're going to discuss this in much greater detail in sif gimel. So right away over here, the very first halacha over here in Shin Ches, Sif Aleph, the Mechaber opened with Kol HaKelim Nitalim B'Shabbos. All Kelim, there are ways in which you're allowed to move them on Shabbos, even if they are Kelim that are usually considered Mukta, like a Kli Shemalach Del Iser. Now the Mechaber says there is an exception to this. Chutz Mi Mukta Machmas Chisarin Kis. The exception to this is something, a Keli, that is mukta machmas chisarin kis, because you're afraid that by handling it, you're going to take a financial loss, and therefore, you are makta daitoi from it. You refrain from handling this keli, and you would not use it in any other way other than what it was intended to be used for, because you don't want to ruin it and take a loss. Let's see Mishnah Berurah's cut and base. Chisarin kis, Ritzayna Loimar, what the Mechaber means is, Shamachmas chshash hefsid, because of a concern of taking a loss, hu makbid aleim shalai lo taltalam. He's makbid not to move them. U makta oisam midaitoi. And therefore he removes them from his mind. He sets these kind of kelim aside for Shabbos, because these are kelim that have a specific intended use, and that intended use is not a Shabbos use, and you will not use it for any other use because you're afraid you're going to ruin it and lose the value of that keli. So let's draw the distinction here. You have a kli shemalachta le'iser, a hammer, a screwdriver. They have a primary intended use to do something which is usser on Shabbos. So it's a kli shemalachta le'iser. But you're allowed to move it, tzarech mekaymai or tzarech gufay, if you want to use it to crack open walnuts, you're allowed to do that. That's a kli shemalachta le'iser. Then you have a keli that is mukta machmas chisarin kis. A keli that, again, it is a keli, and it has a primary intended use, but not only is it a primary use, it is really the only use for that keli. You will not use that keli for anything other than what it was intended for. Why? Because you will not risk ruining it. And now let's turn back to the Mechaber, where the Mechaber is going to give us examples of kelim that are mukta machmas chisarin kis. Kigoin, says the Mechaber, sakin shel shchita, a shchita knife. Now, a shchita knife is a very, very sharp knife. There are 1,000 potential uses for a very sharp knife, and many, 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 many of them are perfectly permissible on Shabbos, right? Yet, you will not use a shchita knife for anything other than shchita, because it's a highly specialized instrument. It has to be maintained in a very specific way. It has to be incredibly sharp, and you're not going to use your shchita knife for anything else. And therefore, it's not available for Shabbos use. It's not available for shchita, but shchita is also on Shabbos. You could use it for something else. No, you're not going to use it for something else. Machmas chisarin kis. You're not going to risk ruining the shchita knife. Continues the Mechaber, oishal mila, or the knife that a moel has to do a bris mila. Again, it's a highly specialized tool. the moil is not going to take his mila knife and use it to cut something else. He's not going to do that. So it's muksa machmas chisarin kiss. The ismel shall saparin, or a barber's scissors. Now, scissors is a very useful item, but a barber is not going to use his haircut scissor for anything else. Visakin shall seifrim, or the knife of a seifer, a scribe, shemisakin behem akomusim. It's a special knife that he uses to cut and prepare the quill that he uses for safras. Again, a highly specialized instrument that he's not going to use for anything else. And the Mechaber explains, Kevin shemakpidim shaloi lasis behem tashmish acher aser l'taltaloi b'shabbos. Since the owner of these objects is makpid, he's not going to use these specialized tools for anything other than what they were intended for. Therefore, they remain aser on Shabbos. You're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. Vafilu litzarech mikaymai oi litzarech gufai. So, if a moil left his bris mila knife on the dining room chair, and now he wants to move it tzarech mekaymai, because he needs the place being occupied by the mila knife, he needs the chair, he's not allowed to. Because this is so mukta. Since it's mukta machmas chisarin kiss, you will not use it for anything else. Since you will not use it for anything else, and its only intended usage is something that's usar on Shabbos, you're so removed from it. It is so mukta that you can't move it even tzarech mekaymai or tzarech gufai. So if the owner of the shechita knife wants to use the knife to cut something that you're allowed to cut on Shabbos, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to use it tzarech gufai because you're totally removed from it. It's totally removed from Shabbos use. Says the Mishnah Berurah, ice cotton gimel hakolmusim. We spoke about the seifer's knife that he uses to cut a quill. V'hu adin sharei dvar mishamakpid aleim shaloi lihishtamish behem tashmish acher kedei shaloi yiskalkalu. This is not restricted to the examples given by the mechaber. Any kind of keli that you will not use for any other purpose other than its intended purpose is considered to be a keli, that's a muktzah machmas chisarin kiss. And the Mishnah Berurah gives an additional example. Kegoin megeira gedoyla shemenastrin ba esakoyros. If you have a large saw, a very, very large saw that was used to saw and cut building beams, oisakin shel ratzonim, or a leather worker has a knife that he uses in his trade to cut his leather. So you have this big saw, and you decide you want to use it to cut a watermelon. No, you can't. It's not like a kli shemalachta l'isser. A kli shemalachta l'isser, right? The hammer, you could use it to cut, break open walnuts. But the saw that you use for cutting building beams, again, it's a specialized instrument. It's muktzah machmas chisarin kiss. You can't use it to cut open a watermelon. Oi, another example the Chavetz Chaim gives. Niyar chalak, very smooth, nice paper. Sha'imid l'ksiva. Very nice paper, smooth paper that is intended only for writing. It's high quality writing paper. Okay, writing is also on Shabbos. So this paper is essentially a keli. It's useful. It has an inherent use. What is it? To write on it. But it's not a klisha malachta l'isser. It's muktzah machmas chisarin kiss. You won't use this paper for anything else. So you won't wad it up and use it to stop up a bottle. You won't use it to wipe up a spill, right? Why? Because you won't want to take the loss. So it's muktzah machmas chisarin kiss, k'maysha kasva apayskim, v'chol kahai gavna. Ois cotton dalid. You're not allowed to move these items, even with tzarech gufai. What is tzarech gufai? Dainu shetzarech l'guf hadavar l'malacha acherish al heter. Tzarech gufai means you want to use this keli in a way that's permissible on Shabbos, using the hammer to break open the walnut. That's a classic case of tzarech gufay. Okay, let's move on here. Let's go to the Ramah. Says the Ramah, end of the line, second line off the bottom, Hagah. So, let's say you have this knife. So you have the knife that the sofer uses to cut his quills, or you have a bris mila knife, or you have a shechita knife. Says the Ramah, Vafilu tchuvim benadon im sha'ar sakinim. Let's say you have a sheath, and it's a sheath that could hold multiple knives. So inside this sheath, you have a challah knife, perfectly usable for Shabbos. You have a steak knife, perfectly usable for Shabbos. And you also stuck in another knife. You stuck in your shechita knife. Or you stuck in your safras knife. Aser little tule, you're still not allowed to be metaltal the knife that is muktzah. So what does this mean? The Mishnah Berurah is going to explain. The knife that is muktzah machmas chesaron kis, you're not allowed to move for any reason. Not even tzarech gufo yitzarech mekaymoy. Why? Because it's intensely muktzah. You're very much removed from that knife because it's not available for any Shabbos use. Now, you took it and you stuck it into a sheath together with other knives that are not muktzah. You might have thought that the act of putting it in the sheath together with the other knives shows that you're not so makbid on it. It shows that, no, it's kind of the same to you as the other knives. You have a challah knife, you have a steak knife, and you have a shechita knife. It's not like you keep your shechita knife in a special box together with your shechita equipment, with your sharpening stones and everything else. So then we could easily understand. You're baktza daito from it. You're very removed from it for Shabbos. But over here, you took the shechita knife and you're just sticking it in a sheath together with all your other knives. Maybe that shows that you didn't separate yourself so much from it. And now maybe you should be allowed to move it, at least tzarech gufay and tzarech mekaymai. Says the Ramah, no. Afilu tchuvim enadanim shar sakinim. Even if you took this muktza machbas chesaron kis knife and you stuck it into a sheath together with other knives that are not muktza, also little tule, you're still not allowed to be metaltal the muktza knife. Now we have a very interesting Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah is katnehei, little tule, pirish. You have to understand carefully what the Mechaber is saying here. What is it that you're not allowed to be metaltal? Oisai hasakin shel soifrim also lataltaloi. The one knife that is muktza machmas chesaron kis, like the safras knife or the bris mila knife or the shechita knife that you stuck into the sheath together with the other knives, that knife you're not allowed to be metaltal. The hava amina, and this is as I explained, the hava amina that it should be mutter is the hava amina hayol v'hu tochovim shasakinim lekopanale. Maybe the fact that he stuck it into the sheath together with the mutter knives shows that he's not so makbid on it. And maybe now we won't consider it muktamach maschisar and kiss. Kamash malanda osir. No, the Ramah is telling me it remains osir mach maschisar and kiss. Aval, however, says the Mishnah Berurah, hanadon im hasakinim, but the sheath that's containing, let's say, three mutter knives and one muktza knife, shari l'taltal, you're allowed to handle the sheath together with the other knives. The sheath does not become muktza by virtue of the fact that it has in it the shechita knife or the bris mila knife or the safras knife. Afshehu gam kein besoichai, even though that muktza knife is also in the sheath together with the other knives, it doesn't become muktza. Why? Dahanasis basis le'isr leheter. Because in this case, the sheath does not become a basis ledavar ha'aser. A basis ledavar ha'aser is something which in itself is really mutter, but it's acting as a base or a support for a muktza item. So it becomes bottled to the muktza item, and it itself becomes muktza. So theoretically, if you had a shechita knife inside a sheath, not only is the shechita knife muktza, the sheath is also muktza, even though there's nothing inherently muktza about a sheath, but the sheath becomes a basis l'davar aser. But, the Chavetz Chaim is teaching me, if I have a sheath that can hold three knives, and I have a challah knife, a steak knife, and a shechita knife, now the sheath does not become aser, because it's not a basis l'davar aser, it's a basis l'davar aser and l'davar heter. It's serving as a basis both to a shechita knife that is muktza and to a steak knife and a challah knife that are not muktza. So therefore, it itself does not become muktza. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, "Mutter l'na'er gam kein es hasaken hazeh mitoichai." What you could do is, you could take the sheath and you could shake out the shechita knife. That is mutter. Even though you could see or a way of thinking that maybe it shouldn't be so mutter to do that, because in that case, you're handling the sheath for the purpose of the usher knife. You have the shechita knife, which is muktzah, and you're picking up the sheath For what? In order to shake out the Davar Osir. So you could see a way of thinking that maybe that should be Osir. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, that's actually Mutter. Now the truth is, we're going to learn later on, not only is it Mutter to do that, it's actually preferable to do that. Meaning, if you have this sheath that has a challah knife, a steak knife, and a shechita knife, and you need to move the sheath is in the kitchen, and you want to bring the sheath to the dining room table so you could bring your challah knife to the dining room table, even though you're allowed to pick up the sheath and bring it to the dining room table with the shechita knife in it, because there are other knives together with it, it is preferable to immediately shake the usher knife out of it and then transport it. We're going to learn that later. Continues the Mishnah Berurah with a very important point. Now, if you have a very expensive, very exclusive shechita knife that was prepared for you by a famous shochet, and it's worth a lot of money, and together with it in the sheath, you have a cheap fabaware steak knife and a flimsy challah knife, so then you have a case where you have a very valuable shechita knife, a mukta object, together with a cheap steak knife and a cheap challah knife. Those are not valuable. So now the mukta item very much is much more valuable than the non-mukta items. In that case, Aser Ozla Taltal Anadam Klau. Then Yutaka wouldn't be allowed to move the sheath. Ayin Soif Simin Shin Yud, we will learn about the halachas of a bosses. In this case, the sheath is going to once again be considered a bosses Lodavar Aser because the cheap knives are going to be considered to be bottle to the expensive knife. Okay, let's go to the bottom line of the Shulchan Aruch here on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, continues the Mechaber. V'hu adin lekornos shel basamim, the hammer of a perfumer. A perfumer would have a hammer that he would use to break up herbs and spices, to pound them in order to create the herb and spice mixture for his perfumes. Now this was a specialized hammer. Shemakpidin alav shelo yislachlech. A perfumer was very careful with this knife, because he didn't want to contaminate it. You're using it to bang up herbs and spices that are aromatic in order to create your perfume. If you're going to contaminate it by using it to pound other things that don't have a pleasant smell, he's going to ruin his perfumes. So this hammer also is considered to be something which is mukta machmas chesaron kis. You would not be allowed to move it, even l'tzarech gufay or l'tzarech mekaymai. Let's go to Mishnah Berurah's Katan Vav, where the Mishnah Berurah teaches us something very important. Shemakpidim alav. Ah, ve'im hu einoy makpid. Let's say you're the type of guy who has some specialized tools, and you're not makpid on them. You're willing to use you're not the highest class perfumer in the world, and you use your perfumer hammer, and yeah, if you bag up walnuts with it, you're not so concerned about it. You wipe it off with a handkerchief, and then you go back to making your perfume. Or if you're a guy who has expensive tools, but you know, there's some guys that are very persnickety about their tools. I'll never forget, I had a contractor in my house once, which the day before he was supposed to begin the job, he came to the house and he lovingly laid out all of his tools. And he took WD-40 and he cleaned every tool. And that's what he did at the end of every work day. And the job took 3 months longer than it was supposed to. So you have people who are super makpid on their tools. Then you have contractors who take their very expensive tools and they chuck them in the back of the pickup truck, and they'll taka use them for anything under the sun, even though they're highly specialized. So says the Mishnah Berurah, a very important thing. If somebody has specialized tools, but the fact is he's not makbid on them, he's willing to use them for anything under the sun. So the Magen Avraham tells us that this whole concept of mukta machbas chesaron kis is subject to the temperament and the feelings of the owner. Okay, now let's go to the Ramah, says the Ramah on the top line, Hagot. V'hu adin, another case of mukta machmas chesaron kis, would be kelim hamyuchadim l'schayra. Let's say you own a hardware store, and you have inventory. So you have all sorts of, you have knives, right? You have chef's knives. Now, a chef's knife is exactly what it's called. It's not a highly specialized instrument. It's made for cutting up your onions and your cucumbers, which is a bona fide Shabbos use. But the problem is that this is brand new inventory that you intend to sell. So let's say you're home and you want to chop up a salad and you can't find your knife. So, but you have a box of chef's knives in your store's inventory and it's available to you in the garage. Could you go take it and use it to chop up a salad on Shabbos? Says the Rambam, no. If it's schorah that you intend to sell, and therefore you need to keep it in brand new condition in order to sell it, so then like the Rambam says, Hu adin kelim am yuchadim l'schorah. If you have kelim that are intended to be merchandise for sale, umakbet aleihem, and therefore you're makbet to keep them in brand new condition so that you can sell them, those are also considered mukta machmas chesaron kis. You're not allowed to move them, even l'sarach kufay or l'sarach mekaymay, says the Mishnah Berurah, katan zayin umakbet aleihem. Why you makbet? Shaloi lishtamish behem kedei shaloi yiskalkalu. You're makbet not to use them so that they should not get damaged or ruined, so you should be able to sell them. But again, if you're not makbid, even though you do have them set aside as merchandise for sale, but I don't know, you're the type of guy, yeah, whatever, I'll use it and then I'll wipe it off, whatever. I don't, my inventory, is, I'm not a high-class store, it's not such expensive inventory. People come to me for price, they don't mind. Even if you have them as merchandise for sale and you have them in the warehouse where you keep them, where you keep your stock, it doesn't become muktzeh machmas chesaron kis and it would be available for use. You would be allowed to be mitaltalit. Okay, so a brief recap of Sif Aleph. The Mechaber has introduced us to the category of muktzeh machmas chesaron kis. So something that's muktzeh machmas chesaron kis is a keli, it's a utensil, it's an object that you can use for something that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. But it's something that you separate yourself from because even though theoretically it does have Shabbos usage, you would never use it in that way. It's a specialized tool, a specialized instrument. You would only use it for its intended use. And its intended use is a non-Shabbos use. And therefore, or even if its intended use is not really something that's usher on Shabbos, but you would only use it under very specific circumstances. You wouldn't use it on Shabbos. You don't generally use this kind of keli because you would be afraid of ruining it. Therefore, it's muktzeh machmas chesaron kis. You are separated from it on Shabbos, and it's so muktzeh that you're not even allowed to move it, tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymay. Okay, moving along to Sif Beis, very important halacha. Says the Mechaber, kol kli, any keli, afilu hu gadol, even if it's very large, the kaved harbe, and very heavy. So you have a keli, which is very big, and very heavy, and therefore you don't generally move it. Not only you don't generally move it, it takes a lot of people to move it. Lo nispatel shem keli mimenu, it is still considered to be a keli. Loy nispatel shem keli mimenu loy mipnei gadloi, not because of its size, v'loy mipnei kavdoi, and not because of its weight, and therefore it is not muktzah. Now, if you take a look at the Baragoyla ice cotton hay, you'll see that this is based on the Gemara in Erevin and Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Erevin brings down a story where Rabbi Pedas had a very, very large, heavy beam in his home. Now, this beam was so big and so heavy that it took 10 people to move it. What did he use this beam for? He used this beam as kind of a doorstop. This was used for security purposes. This is what he jammed against the door at night to make sure nobody could open the door and come into the house during the night. I guess he didn't live in a very good neighborhood. He needed a lot of security. So he had such a heavy beam, it took 10 people to move it. And they picked it up. The Gemara says that on Friday night, on Shabbos, he got together 10 people, and they picked up the beam, and they used it to block the door. So clearly, this beam was not considered to be muktzah. And what the Gemara over there says is that this beam was considered to be a keli. Now, we're going to learn that building beams, if you have a beam that is set aside for building purposes, that's muktzah on Shabbos. But this was not a building beam. This was a beam that they used as a door lock. So this beam was considered a keli. And therefore, as a keli, it's not muktzah. It's not klisha malachta l'iser. There's nothing usher on Shabbos about locking the door, so it's a kli shemalachta leheter. Not only that, but Rashi says that this beam served another purpose. It was such a large beam that it could be used as a bench. People could sit on it. So this is a bench. So it's a keli. A bench is a keli. And it's a keli shemalachta leheter. It's a keli that is a perfectly mutter Shabbos use. And therefore it's not muktzeh at all. You're allowed to pick it up and you're allowed to move it. The question was, since it's so heavy that it takes 10 people to move it, you generally don't move it very often. And there could have been a thought process that maybe this is something that is not intended to be moved on Shabbos. And therefore, you're makta daitoi me'olav. You separate your mind from it. Again, in your mind, it is mukta. It's separated from Shabbos tiltel because this is something so heavy, you generally don't move it. In the words that we're going to see, there was a havamina that because of its size and weight, you were keveya mokim. You established a place for it, and you have no intent on moving it. And therefore, maybe it becomes mokza. Kamash balon the mechaber. No, that's not the way we look at it. The way we look at it is, not that you separated it from your mind and you have no intention of moving it. No, it's something that is inherently movable. You don't move it that often. You know why? Because you need to get 10 people together in order to move it. It's a big tircha to move it. But it's not that it's a mukta. There's nothing mukta about it. It's a klisha malakta lanter. That's what the Mechaber is telling me here. Kol keli. If it's a keli, afilu hu gadol v'kamed harbe. Even if it's very big and very heavy, loin is patashem keli mimenu. It's still considered a keli. Loin mipnei gadloi. It doesn't lose its status of a keli, not because of its size. V'loin mipnei kavdai, and not because of its weight. Says the Mishnah Berurah Kaches, v'kamed harbe. Even if it's very, very big. Now, the Mechaber gave us this halacha in the context of a keli. Again, a keli is something, is a construct, a utensil, something that has an inherent usage, right? Says the Mishnah Berurah that this doesn't only apply to things that you automatically consider to be kelim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'hu adin even gedoyla, a very, very large boulder, v'koyre gedoyla, or a very, very large beam, im yesh toras keli aleha, if it is used as a keli, if it has the designation of a keli. Now, how does a big rock get the designation of a keli? Dahainu, shem yuchadim litashmish. You set it aside for a use. You have a big, ugly rock, but you use that rock to prop open a door. You have a heavy door, and it needs a big rock to act as a doorstop. So by designating it as a doorstop, you have turned it from a mere rock into a keli. So now this halacha of Sif Beis would kick in. You were miyached, you designated this big, ugly, heavy rock as being a doorstop. Now that you designated it as a doorstop, it's a keli. Now that it's a keli, even though it's big and heavy and it might take 20 people to move it, it remains a kli shemalachta leheter and you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. And you're allowed to move it. And this is true, even if you don't typically move this item during the week. Nevertheless, we do not say that due to its weight, we look at it as if you fixed it in place and have no intention of moving it, and it should be mukta. We don't look at it that way. Veneran, it would seem, says the Mishnah Berurah, Dimbi Yamaisachayel Huzayr, Lahaniyam Mimakayim Kadesha Laiti Pasayd Vitiskalkil. Now, how about if the story is a little bit different? How about if you have a keli, but it's delicate, and therefore you're taka careful even during the week, you don't move it. Why? Because you're afraid that by moving it, you might break it. Or by moving it, you might throw something off and it might not work properly. So now, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's a different story. In that case, b'meilhu b'chlal mukta machmas chesaron kis. Now it becomes something that's mukta machmas chesaron kis. Because you refrain from moving this item because you're afraid that by moving it, you might ruin it and you might take a financial loss. So that's like the bris milah knife that you refrain from using for any other reason other than bris milah because you're afraid you're going to root it, you're going to take a financial hit, you're going to lose your valuable bris milah knife. So too, if you have a keli, but you never move this keli during the week because you're afraid that by moving it, you might ruin it, now it becomes a muktzah, machmas chisaron kis. Eis cut and test. A keli does not lose its status of a keli, even if it's very heavy, even if it takes many people to move it. And again, here we see the Mishnah brings down that Gemara of Rav Pedas on Erevin Kuf Beis Amid Aleph. Moving along to Sif Gimel, three lines down, says the Mechaber. Kli shemalachtoi le'iser. A keli that's typically used to perform malacha that is usher on Shabbos. So the hammer, the screwdriver, kli shemalachta l'iser, mutter l'taltaloi, you're allowed to move it, and I'm skipping the words of the Ramah for now, and we'll come back to the Ramah. Mutter l'taltaloi, you're allowed to move a kli shemalachta l'iser, like a hammer or a screwdriver, bein l'tzerich gufay, whether you want to move it so that you can use it. So that's moving the hammer in order to use it to break open walnuts. It's moving the screwdriver and the vise grip and the screw in order to use it as a corkscrew to open your bottle of wine. Or, in the Mechaber's cases, kigoin, cornice, a hammer, shel zahavim. A goldsmith has a fine, specialized hammer that he uses to pound gold. Specialized tool, but it's a kli shemalachta l'iser. This is not muktzah machmas chisaron kis. You're not afraid that if you use it to break open walnuts, you're going to ruin it. But it's a kli shemalachta l'iser. It's used for goldsmithing. Ay napachim liftzai kornish shel zahavim. Kigoyin kornish shel zahavim. Ay napachim, or the hammer of a blacksmith. Liftzai abaya goizim, and now you want to use these hammers, which are kelim shemalachtam l'iser, in order to bust open walnuts. Or kardoim, or if you have a hatchet, another kli shemalachtam l'iser. Lachtach beit vela, and you want to use it to break apart cakes of figs. So that's a heter to move a kli shemalachtam l'iser. You're allowed to be metaltel a kli shemalachtam l'iser litzorich gufay, to use it for a permissible use. Or, continues the Mechaber, bein l'tzarech mekaymai. You're also allowed to move a kli shemalachta l'iser if you need the place that it's occupying. Dahainu, shetzarech lehishtamish b'makam shakli munaksham. You need the dining room chair that this kli shemalachta l'iser is sitting on. Let's pause here for a moment. And let's go back to the words of the Ramah. The Ramah says, he interjects, vim nishtamish l'iser b'ben ashmashos, but if this keli shemalachta l'iser was being used at the onset of Shabbos in an usher fashion, kigoy ner shehudlak, like a candlestick that had a ner burning in it, ayin le'el simin reish ayin tes, that we have to look back in simin reish ayin tes. Okay, so let's pause here for a moment. So the halacha that the Mechaber just told me, a very important halacha that is negeya very, very often on Shabbos, a keli shemalachta l'iser, a keli whose typical use is for something that's usher on Shabbos. So it is mukta, but you're allowed to move it, tzarech gufay and tzarech mikaymay. Tzarech gufay means that you want to use it, and you want to do something with it that is permissible on Shabbos. Tzarech mikaymay means you want to move it because you need the place that it is occupying. Let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah is Katan Yud, Shemalachta l'Iser. We're talking about a keli whose typical usage is something that's usher on Shabbos. Kaloimar. This means to say, says the Chafetz Chaim, Shem Yuchedes l'davar she'asar l'asais p'Shabbos. This is a keli whose intended use is something that's usher on Shabbos. Like a hammer, that's a tool used for construction, or a drill. Va'afilu im rak roiv malachta l'iser. Even if it's something that it has 100 different uses, but the majority of its usage, its typical usage, is for something that's also on Shabbos, hu gam kein b'chlal zeh, that is also considered a klisha malachta l'iser. Ois katan yod aleph, the Ramah interjected and he said, yes, A kli shemalachtil iser could be moved tzarech gufay and tzarech mekaymay. But if during Ben Hashmashos, when Shabbos came in, it was being used in an oifen shel iser, neshtamish, pirish, shahimunach alav Ben Hashmashos devar iser. Let's say you have a kli shemalachtil iser, but it had something on top of it when Shabbos came in at Ben Hashmashos, which is muktzah machmas gufay, so it became a basis. A candlestick that had a burning nair on it. Well, a candlestick that has a burning candle in it during Ben Hashmashos. So at the time period of Ben Hashmashos, the candlestick was a basis l'davar aser. It was serving as a base for the burning candle, which is muktzah. The nasis as basis l'davar aser. But if somebody was using the goldsmith's hammer to pound gold during Ben Hashmashos, pshita the mutal tatal b'Shabbos l'tzarech gufay mekaymai. Still on Shabbos, you would be allowed to move it l'tzarech gufay l'tzarech mekaymai. In other words, when the Ramah interjected over here that there is something that needs further explanation here, the Mechaber is saying a rule that a kli shemalachta l'iser, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos l'tzarech gufay l'tzarech mekaymai, interjects to the Ramah and he says there is a little bit of an exception to that rule. And that is, you can have a case where a kli shemalachtel iser became a basis l'davar aser during Ben Hashmashos. And if it became a basis l'davar aser during Ben Hashmashos, migud is katsoy l'Ben Hashmashos is katsoy l'kula yuma. That's what the Ramah is coming to say over here. Ois katan yud beis, bein l'tzarech gufay. You're allowed to move this kli shemalachtel l'iser if you're moving it tzarech gufay. If you're moving it for a purpose that is mutter on Shabbos. Now, very important Mishnah Berurah over here. Umayri, but this heter of the Mechaber is speaking about a case, she'ein loy kli heter l'tashmish zeh. So, we say, you're allowed to take a hammer, which is a kli shemalach deliser, and you're allowed to use it to bust open walnuts. But that's not true if you have a nutcracker in your drawer. If you have a nutcracker in your kitchen drawer, then use the nutcracker to open your walnuts. Don't use the hammer. So I once had this very halacha was once the Geah. I was in a camp, and they had to open a fancy bottle of Cabernet, and somebody from the maintenance crew of the camp decided he had heard a shir on Hilchos Shabbos. So he had learned this halacha that you're allowed to move a kli shemalachta l'iser l'tzarek gufay. So he decided that it would be very shticky to go show off his knowledge of Hilchos Shabbos. So even though they had 12 corkscrews, he said, hey. He went and he got a screwdriver and he got a vise grip and he got a screw. And yeah, everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. I'm walking through the dining room with a vise grip and a screwdriver. What are you doing? Hello, it's Shabbos. No, it's fine. I'm using it tzarech gufay. I went over to him, I told him, doesn't work that way. You have a corkscrew. If you have a corkscrew, you use a corkscrew. You have no business handling a kli shemalach del iser and making use of this heter of being metaltel mukta tzarech gufay if you don't really need it. You don't need it because you have a corkscrew. That's the halacha here of ois katan yud beis umayri she'ein lo kli heter l'tashmish zeh. This is only true if you don't have available to you a kli that is perfectly mutter. The lavachi ein lo l'hishtamish b'kli zeh. If you have the option of using a keli that's heter gomor, don't go ahead and use this heter of moving a kli shemalach del iser tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai. Okay, now we go weiter here in the Mechaber, where we learn a very, very interesting halacha. So, we are 6 lines down in the Mechaber on the middle of the line. So, the Mechaber just gave me a heter, and the Mechaber just said, a kli shemalachta l'iser, you're allowed to move it, tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai. Okay, so, you come into your bedroom Friday night to go to sleep, and you discover that you had been doing some work in your bedroom Friday afternoon, and you left your drill and your circular saw on your bed. Okay, a drill and a circular saw are muktzah. What's the designation? What kind of muktzah? They're kelim shemalachtam l'iser. All right, well, you know the halacha, that you're allowed to move the drill and you're allowed to move the circular saw if you're moving it tzarech mekaymai, if you need the place that is being occupied by the Muktzeh Keli. Well, you definitely need the place. You need the bed. All right, so what do you do now? You're going to pick up the drill. You're going to pick up the circular saw. Do you have to immediately put them under the bed? Do you have to put them on the first available flat surface? Or could you pick them up and carry them downstairs to the basement and put them downstairs in the basement where they belong? That's the halacha that the Mechaber tackles right now. Says the Mechaber, Umutar loy litol misham, when you pick up a kli shemalachta le'iser, tzarech mekaymai or tzarech gufay, you're allowed to then take it, ulahanichai be'eza makam she'yirtze, and you're allowed to put it wherever you want. So you're allowed to put it back where it belongs. Mishnah Berurah is cutting a gimel ulahanichai be'eza makam. Explains the Mishnah Berurah why is this true. Tekevet chu biyadai shenitala l'tzarech gufay mekayma. Once halacha said that you are allowed to pick it up because you picked it up, tzarech mekaymai, tzarech gufay, so you picked it up l'tzarech Shabbos. What do I mean you picked it up l'tzarech Shabbos? You need your bed on Shabbos. So you picked it up for a Shabbos use. You picked it up because you need your bed. You picked up the hammer to bust open a walnut that you want to eat on Shabbos. So you had a heter to pick up the hammer. You had a heter to pick up the circular saw. Once you have it in your hand because you picked it up, ba'ayfin shel heter, rashoy l'talta lo yaiser, you're holding it still because you picked it up with a heter. Since you picked it up with a heter, we're not going to tell you that you must immediately drop it. You're allowed to do what you're doing. Halacha said, you're allowed to pick it up to transport it somewhere else. You needed it off your bed, so you're allowed to pick it up and take it off your bed and transport it to wherever you have to transport it. You are allowed to pick up the hammer to bust open the walnut. Halacha doesn't say that you have to immediately drop it after you bust open the walnut. No, you're holding it beheter. So now you could put it back wherever you want to put it. Now the Mishnah Berurah brings down a very interesting Magen Avraham. The Kosev Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham writes, Tehu adin mishachach unitala biyadai. Let's say you didn't pick up the hammer because you wanted to bust open a walnut. Let's say you walked by a room and there was a hammer. And you said, that's funny, why is the hammer here? So you picked up the hammer. You just totally forgot that it was muktzeh. So you picked up the hammer. Now in this case, you didn't pick it up with one of the heterim of tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai. You picked it up inadvertently. You picked it up because you forgot that it's muktzeh. Still says the Magen Avraham, Rashoy l'talta lo yoser. You're still allowed to continue moving it, and you're allowed to take it downstairs and put it away. Af shehanati l'hayo shaloy l'tzarech gufay mekaymai. Even though you didn't pick it up, tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai. So again, since you had a heter to pick it up, in the first halacha of the Mishnah Berurah here, you picked it up tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai. The Mechaber says you could put it wherever you want because you picked it up a heter. Says the Magen Avraham, even if you didn't really pick it up a heter, you picked it up because you forgot. But since the bottom line is you are holding a kli shemalachta le'iser, and by a kli shemalachta le'iser, there is a theoretical, at least, heter to pick it up, there is a time that you're allowed to pick up a hammer. You're allowed to pick up a hammer if you're picking it up tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai. So even though in your particular case, that's not why you picked it up because you forgot, says the Magen Avraham, you still have this heter that you're allowed to continue moving it until you put it away where it belongs. Continues the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, v'ayin ba'achrayinim, take a look at the achrayinim, she'echriyu, who rule, tahaya teru, that this heter of the Mechaber, this heter that the Mechaber says, that if you pick up a kli shemalachta le'iser, le'tzarech gufay, or tzarech mekaymai, you're allowed to continue being metaltalit until you put it wherever you want to put it. This heter lo shayach elo b'kli shemalachta le'iser, it only applies to a kli shemalachta le'iser where there is a heter to pick it up tzarech gufay or tzarech mekaymai. The loy b'muktzeh machmas gufay, but it does not apply to something that is intrinsically muktzeh. Muktzeh machmas gufay, kigoy mois va'avonim ukiyotze behen. It does not apply to the higher level of muktzeh. Something that's muktzeh machmas gufay, something which is a much more serious muktzeh, because it's something that has no Shabbos use at all, like coins or like a stone outside in your backyard. Over there, you don't have the heter, that if you picked it up, you could continue moving it until you put it where you want to put it. Why? Because Muktzah Machmas Gufay has no even theoretical heter to pick it up on Shabbos. You're not allowed to move Muktzah Machmas Gufay. Tzarech Gufay and Tzarech Mekaymai. And therefore, if you did pick it up, you must drop it right away. Ubebir Agro Le'el Simen Reish Samach Vav Sif Yud Beis Chalek Alabang and Avram Vesfira Le'i Delay Yitiru Ela Kishe Hizchel Taltal Berushus. The Gro disagrees with this Magen Avram. Again, the Magen Avram said that the Mechaber's Heter to continue being metaltal, the Kli Shemalach Del Isser, applies even if you picked it up forgetfully, even if you picked it up, not tzarech gufo yitzarech mekarmai, the Gra disagrees. The kain mashba baran reish beitza ayin sham. Vayin kaban sibichin lamad aleph sivav b'mishnebura le'inyin ismal mila. Very interesting halacha. You know that a bris on the eighth day is doicha Shabbos. What is the moil allowed to do with the mila knife after he does the mila on Shabbos? So the mila knife is muktzah machmas chesaron kis, which is similar to muktzah machmas gufay. He was allowed to be metalkal the mila knife in order to do the mila. But once the mila is done, is he allowed to put it away? We're going to see over there that yes, he is allowed to put it away. Moving something that is muktza with your body. In other words, you want to take something that's muktza and you want to shove it out of the way with your elbow. Or you want to kick it out of the way with your foot. Even if you're doing it for the sake of the item which is muktza, that is mutter, tzele nikra tiltel klal. Moving something in an abnormal way with a different part of your body is not considered tiltel, and therefore that is generally speaking mutter. Olafizan, according to this, in munach ezadava muktza ala oretz, if there's something muktza on the ground, mutter ledachvei baraglov, you're allowed to move it with your feet, kidei shelo yavei lehefsid, so that it should not get ruined. I see that we're going already a little bit long, so we're going to pause over here, and we'll pick up next time and go a little bit weiter. Thank you so much for joining me for Liman HaTorah. The schools of Liman HaTorah should be Megan against Klal Yisrael. The Rabbi Hashem should send Yeshua, Sefuras, Panasa, Shaduchim, to all those in need. We should be zoichet to see the B'ez Kol Tzedek. Memherev Yameinu, Amen. Be well.